It is Way of the Warrior, Eric Hallgren and Ken Evans covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. Welcome to episode 381.
Oh, you're keeping track now.
Now I am. The era of John Jones. And I will apologize in advance if you're somebody who doesn't follow this side of the sport very closely, because this is going to be confusing. But we had part one. So imagine the CSAC is mom and USADA is dad. You've been penalized by one of the parents awaiting the next one.
Yeah. So this is what's interesting about it, because I didn't even realize this myself. And we're ostensibly following this. I didn't realize that we were going to have like a two-tier process here. I didn't realize USADA wasn't going to be involved in the actual CSAC hearing. So this is something I'm learning too. And essentially what happened is he went in front of the CSAC. And this is the weird thing. I don't know. What do you think John Jones thought his case was? Because there was no physical evidence.
No evidence? I don't know.
Well, okay, so you and I both saw the same thing. Like, so he's just trying to talk his way out of this, is kind of what I gathered from it. They had one expert witness that basically said this kind of behavior with clean, positive, clean testing is indicative of accidental use, but never introduced anything. They didn't talk about dick pills this time. They didn't talk about creatine tainted.
They didn't.
No, they didn't. But, I mean, that's the problem. He opened the door a little bit with his character, but I think they went a little far. But, again, what are you going to do? So he went into this hearing, and I'm sure you want to break it down a certain way, but the way I looked at this is like, what is he's trying to talk himself out of this, is essentially what I took from it.
The sense I got in the hour that it was going on, you know, including his lawyer questioning him in front of the committee, and then the committee allowed to ask questions afterwards when John was the final witness, was, to your point, not only is he trying to talk his way through this, he wants to put the onus on some mysterious, nefarious character in his life who's been poisoning meals, protein shakes, ants on a log, water bottles.
Right.
I don't know what part it is. And I want to rewind real quick before we kind of dig into that part to give you guys a reset that on the Joe Rogan podcast, they've said multiple times in the last 6 months that one of the things that they cut cocaine with is creatine, which is where Turnabol is found. And the reason that matters is because you wouldn't do this with Turnabol that in the way that he got caught. It wouldn't work. There would be no purpose in taking it that close to a fight, because that's not how it works.
So what he might have been thinking, your supposition is...
Total supposition, but...
is that it's possible that he used cocaine, not realizing that, hey, he's going to test positive for steroids, but knowing that the cocaine will be out of his system by the time he tests.
Correct.
So,
because he's done that part before,
yeah.
Right? He even said it so much when he got busted the last time and was on Fox and they did that sit-down interview.
Mm-hmm.
He talked about how his cocaine use and it getting out of his system. And so that's one theory and total supposition. The other theory, and what's funny, is we've reached crazy town where I don't know which one of these is crazier. Theory one is, did cocaine the week of a fight that was cut with creatine? Theory two, there's a secret agent that works in his family that poisons his food.
Or his meals.
Or whatever.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I just thought it was very weird. I guess I was expecting something, not like a Perry Mason moment, but something. And essentially what happened is he and his team tried to talk themselves out of basically being found guilty of this. And I know this is not exactly how this works. There was a lot of character issues that John opened himself up for to a point, and the CSAC went all California crazy like they always do.
Two specific individuals went all crazy. Martha Shenokides is the one you're referring to, who wanted to talk about his sexual exploits. And while I thought that was unnecessary and embarrassing, I found it fascinating that he's been using Cialis for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, what, 30?
Yeah. Which points to, some say, the fact that you've been using testosterone, so you've thrown your body out of
whack.
Well,
you've been doing something wrong.
Exactly.
Because at 30, you shouldn't be taking Cialis. I don't want to paint with a broad brush here, because I thought she was out of line, but I walked away thinking, okay, well, you need to stop asking him about these questions, because we're not talking about the bends he wrapped around a pole and whether or not it was a gift from the UFC. That's sort of irrelevant here, because you've already, prior to John talking, been building this case up that he continually does things like this, thus why he's here.
Yes, and I get how some people were upset about it, and while I did think it was a little far, remember, this is about licensing. This isn't necessarily just about a positive drug test when it comes to California, and that was kind of reiterated in why we have that next step, is this is about licensing, so a lot of character issues can come up, and John, from my knowledge, hasn't sat in front of them before. I know he's sat in front of Nevada. This might be the first time he's sat in front of California, and we've seen it, whether it's something you believe is right or not. This is what happens when you get in front of these weird commissions who have ultimate authority, and it's about licensing at a certain point. So yeah, you know what? We're going to license you. Are you doing drugs? You were a drunk driver. Are you still drinking? You know, a lot of these things, your gut reaction is to say, and I know Luke Thomas had the same thing, that this was way overstepping and they're way out of bounds and I can't believe they did this. Yes, I don't disagree that I think they were overbounds, but I don't think they were egregious to the point most people are because, again, this is not just a drug test. Sure. This is them deciding whether or not to license in their state. So they take the complete picture as much as they want to, and he put himself in that position himself.
I hear you. I think you could handle that in 60 seconds. I don't think you need to belabor the point for 20 minutes about what a terrible person you think he is.
But I also do think there's a certain level, and again, I don't want to attribute this to Luke Thomas just because he was very coherent and put his thoughts down in a way and in a podcast that I haven't done on this. I don't know if he's part of this group, but it does seem like there's a lot of people latching on to that type of sentiment that, oh, that shouldn't be allowed. This is a court of law. Objection, objection, Your Honor. No. To say this isn't allowed at all is BS. It is. They're licensing the guy.
That's totally true.
But there's a lot of people latching on to a guy who's as eloquent as Luke Thomas and speaks as well and has that mindset. They're attaching a lot to his statements that I didn't necessarily hear. Yes, in this instance, they went too far. Yes, there was probably a belaboring, as you said, of many of these points. But that is still within the realm of what these commissions do.
And his question was not that this is a court of law, that this isn't a court of law, should this be admissible? That was his point of view.
Right.
So I think it's getting taken out of context for the convenience of an argument on Twitter or whatever. But
and he and Luke, I probably live on different sides of that.
Sure.
It's not a court of law. You can't ask him about this. And me, I'm a guy who's like, no, it's not a court of law. That's when you get all this leeway. That's when this kind of weird stuff happens, and John put himself in the predicament by having to even be in front of the commission. Ultimately, what we've got at this point is a $200,000 fine, which is the 40%. There was like a $5,000, what was that, administration fee or something?
Sort of, yes. I think it's to get hearing aids for the guy who likes Stephen A. Smith.
Well, there was that. What was that dude doing? Again, I'm not going to argue for the insanity that was this commission, but that was craziness.
Well, and I just want to pause there for a second and think, like, you've got a guy's livelihood on the line, and you can't remember to put your hearing aids in, and you want to yell about Stephen A. Smith as if he's a dude from the 1940s?
Yeah, I'm not sure what was going on there. That was very weird.
Have you heard of Stephen A. Smith, though? I just want to ask.
Yeah, once.
Okay.
Once or twice.
Okay.
So in this thing, we got, like you said, mom's punishment, then dad's punishment. Mom's punishment is really, other than the money,
his
was kind of like, wait, let's see what dad has to say.
His license is revoked for now, but that doesn't mean it's revoked forever.
Essentially, he would have to reapply in August, which isn't that far away. And a lot of people are going, okay, you can fight again in August. Wait a minute.
Nope.
Now, what's going to happen now is the USADA is where we start to get into the essentially legislated rules of the MMA drug testing game, where, boom, he's facing 4 years because this is a second positive test.
0% chance.
You don't think he gets? You still don't think he gets 4 years?
0% chance.
If he doesn't, then what do the rules matter?
They don't.
Okay.
They don't. We're going to segue from this into another gentleman that proves that they don't matter. They
sure.
do not.
Okay.
Hang on.
But
they don't matter.
The letter of the law. We'll get to Brock in a minute because I know that's what we're talking about.
But they're not good. They're not going to throw the book at John Jones. They're not. Because they
it's not a book, though. It's what the rule is. Second test, you're positive. You've got 4 years, right?
No, that is what the piece of paper says. He's going to fight in 2019. I don't think you'll see him this year. I agree with Luke in that point. You're going to see him next year, and you're going to see him in January.
You think next year. So USADA, they can give him up to 4 years because this is his second offense with an anti-drug organization, with this anti-drug organization, I would say. So, I don't know.
0% chance.
0% with all the craziness involved, too.
I think there's too much money. I think the UFC needs guys like him back which is why we're about to talk about Brock Lesnar. They need these guys back. You saw, and we'll talk about all of this and how it connects. You saw last weekend that if you lean into a brand that is about fighting, you can have a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. That Fox card was super fun. Not a lot of ramifications to have anything to do with anything, really, but it was a lot of fun to watch people fight.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what they're doing. So they need Jon Jones. They need Brock Lesnar. You know, we can talk about this weekend. I think the fights are fun. It's not a draw. You're not getting $70 from people this weekend. I mean, you just, right before I walked over here to do the show, they just now took the shadow out and put a real person in Yana's place on the UFC site.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they didn't have a picture of her.
Yeah.
I mean, we used to joke on the show sometimes about fights, and the guy wouldn't have a Wikipedia page, so we couldn't tell you anything about him.
Right.
Literally, the UFC couldn't get a picture of the fighter that's in the main event of a pay-per-view a week before.
For a title.
Main event, title, championship shot, which was ridiculous. I get what you're saying about the money. I get what you're saying, and that's usually what I say on the show, too. Follow the money. Where's it going to go? But here's where this argument goes from follow the money in the UFC to follow the money with USADA. Are they willing to give up their standards and their practices and how they do things for the UFC? Because remember, this is the USADA. They are the ones that do the anti-doping for the Olympics. They do the Paralympics.
How well has that been working?
But regardless of how well it's been working, the UFC is not their bread and butter. And they are supposedly an independent agency, but they've got much bigger fish to fry than the UFC, essentially. And that's keeping the integrity of their testing methods of the sport and essentially the rights of clean athletes is kind of how they paraphrase it on their websites. That's how I'm paraphrasing their website. You know, the UFC, while a big fish, is not close to the biggest fish in their pond as far as testing and what they do. And if their standards change and their rules change just for the UFC, you have to wonder how that could affect other things that they do. Now, again, it might be a monolith that things are just too out of hand. You know, there's no other options, but the USADA is essentially an independent organization from the UFC. So you have to wonder if it doesn't matter to them whether or not the UFC has their pay-per-view draw. This isn't the biggest fish they're frying as they do Olympics and U.S. testing and U.S. sports testing and all those types of things at this point.
I'm trying to just look up if we could see how much money they give them. But
the UFC?
Yeah. But I hear all the things that you're saying, and in a logical world, they make sense. I just think you're going to see him out for 2 years maximum, which puts him fighting in 2019.
It'll be interesting because I've said it months and months and months on the show. This is going to be the test on whether or not the USADA can really follow these rules and whether or not the UFC is going to comply with what is said. I said this a month before this testing went into effect. There's going to be somebody gets tagged that really pushes the limits here. We've had guys like Anderson Silva, who's a big name, but at that point it happened, not the biggest name. We've had other guys that have tested positive. We've had main events afterwards that have been negated, and we'll talk about Brock in a minute by testing. But this is a guy, when they don't have Conor McGregor, when they don't have Ronda Rousey as the drawing powers they were years ago, this was the third guy in that trifecta on some of the biggest fights they had in their biggest era. Can they hold people to the rules when it comes to a guy like Jon Jones? So that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, and I don't have a date on USADA, so we'll keep you posted on that. But yes,
they said it should be by the end of the month.
Yeah, but I don't know when, so
okay.
We'll see. Which leads us to
The other interesting thing, too, is some people are talking about the fact, what is Tim Means
and
Yoel.
Yoel Romero.
How they had theirs knocked down, but they actually had, like, supplements, and then the USADA tested the supplements.
Multiple supplements, and they were right.
Right, so is John walking into the USADA with any of these
Well, he didn't have them yesterday, right? So
that's what I'm saying. Is he saving them? I don't know.
What would you save them for?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking you. I don't know. You've got all the theories about this.
Well, I don't know what you would save it for, because then you would get out. If you could get out of this one, wouldn't that set the table for you getting out of the next one?
I don't know. And by the way, John can't just walk down with a jar that's tainted. He would have to. The USADA would test types and brands and multiple sources, all of that stuff.
Well, and they'd have to find the state actor who's poisoning all the things around
him. The state actor. Oh, my God. Is that where we're going now? So John Jones, after the big USADA, or excuse me, CSAC hearing, we're back to hurry up and wait for him as far as waiting for the USADA. If he walks in what he did before, I don't know how he doesn't walk out with 4 years, but Eric says the money's there.
I'll be surprised if you're right on this one this year. That one, this will be one I'll be surprised by.
Okay, well, there we go. We've drawn our lines in the sand at this point.
And our friendship depends on it. So there you go.
Okay, sure.
Which leads us to Brock Lesnar coming back.
When we both have different sides, that just means we're done being friends. So I can't do anything about that.
Fair enough.
There you go.
You know, Brock Lesnar is apparently took a photo over the weekend with Dana White. Dana White posted and then went on SiriusXM, I think, this week and said pretty good chances that we need him back in 18 to make some money. So he's going to be back.
So, again, there's your follow the money.
I added some color to that, but that's essentially what he said.
Yeah, follow the money. And the money goes to Brock. Here's the difference, because you wanted to talk earlier about the Brock example being one that shows you, well, this is why John's going to get off. The difference here is Brock has only tested positive once. And according to the rules, you lose a year, right?
Yeah.
He's been out nearly 2 years at this point. If he comes back, I doubt he's going to have that same exemption. That'd be a ballsy move. The out of retirement exemption to try to pull that again.
Yeah, no, he'll have to be in the testing pool for sure.
I'm guessing he'll have to at least do 4 months of testing. There's been a lot of rumors. He allegedly no-showed WWE on Monday.
You put that up. So you said allegedly. So do you think this is part of an angle to move him to UFC? Or what does that mean when you say allegedly?
Allegedly, as far as the WWE is saying. But, I mean, that can obviously be a work. That's probably a work, actually. Because, I mean, there's one thing we've always known about Brock is he's a businessman.
Yeah.
And I really don't think Brock would no-show an event. I think what happens is you play off the fact that Brock might be going back to UFC and you already know that he's not signing and you want to get your guy over, in this case, WWE's Roman Reigns. You want to get your guy cheered and over and you put it out there and you let Paul Heyman orchestrate things and Brock didn't show up. Is he going back to UFC? Because they haven't been able to get cheers for that dude, Roman Reigns.
Right.
Ever.
Ever.
So the only way to do it is to really basically say to the fans, hey, look, he's saying F you. He's not going to show up. You still want to cheer for that guy?
Yep, we do. Because you're Roman Reigns.
I don't know. That's what people thought. And, I mean, the Rock got booed when they did the same thing with him. So maybe they finally get this guy over. Who knows?
So who is he fighting?
Who's Brock fighting?
Yes.
Well, your theory puts me squarely in the camp of wanting to see him fight John Jones. You don't affect anything else. You've got two guys that were dirty in the past that really aren't going to smear the other one.
That's not 18. That's 19 that I think Jones will be back.
You said 19. Yeah, but I mean, Brock, 4 months. He let him fight. I don't know who he fights. Not Miocic, though.
No.
Or do you? Who knows?
No.
Kane? Rematch? Which shouldn't be a thing, except we haven't seen Kane in 17 years.
Right, you haven't seen Kane since that fight.
Kane was at the Raw.
He was.
That Brock was not at.
Wearing a luchador mask.
So there you go.
And I want to say I love the people that listen to this podcast who are immediately like, did he hurt himself putting the mask on?
Right.
Did he hurt himself sitting down?
Right. Did he blow his knees out that way? What happened? So, I mean, it shouldn't make sense after the domination we saw, but I mean, it's been 8 years since that fight. And we haven't seen Kane since 16? Yeah, he fought Brown at 200 because Brock was on the same card. Because I was theorizing we could start getting the rematch at that point. That's why he put him on the same card.
Right, because that's what we're working for.
We haven't seen him in 2 years. I take that fight. Kane's got a little more miles on him. Brock is allegedly healthier than he was at the time that he fought Kane. Yeah, I'm watching that. I'm paying for that fight. Let's go back to what you always say. Are you paying $75?
Yeah, but I think you're paying $75 for anything.
That Brock fights in?
Yes.
Well, is Kane a decent fight there to kind of gauge where he is? Or do you give him somebody even lower on the pole just because it's Brock and you don't have to worry about draws at that point?
Well, you've got, so he beat Mark Hunt. I know it was a no contest, but he beat him. You've got Nagano. You've got a rematch with Overeem. You've got Curtis Blades.
I don't think
Derek Lewis.
I mean, any of those guys would be fine. I don't think you want him in there with Overeem again. We might want that rematch. It all depends. Is this a one-off? If this is a one-off, you find the biggest guy you can and make the most money you can.
Is that Stipe then? Or is that Jones?
The biggest guy is Jones. No disrespect to Stipe, but there would be such a built-up interest in both of those dudes being back in the cage. I mean, I think you could pop $2 million. I think you really could.
Jones would buzzsaw him.
You think so? Oh, see? I don't think so.
Oh, that would be.
Brock's the one dude that would. We've got to break down damn John Jones fights again. John has always been the dude where you talk to the guy after the fight and the guy's like, oh, man, he was so strong. Brock is not going to give a crap how strong John Jones is. John might out-technique him. He's not going to blast him. It's Brock Lesnar.
So we all know that there's two places that Brock doesn't like to be punched. It's in the tum-tum and in his head, and those are things that John Jones does a lot of.
Right, and I mean, he might slice him up with some elbows and get in there quick, but he's not going to be stronger than Brock, which I think is the interesting aspect if you're talking about that fight specifically.
Okay, so look for that one February 6th, 2019.
Just in time for your next birthday.
Right. And then obviously we've got some events this weekend. You have Bellator 195 on Friday, and then
do we have any level of the Bellator Heavyweight Championship Grand
Prix
happening?
None of that is this weekend. No,
all right.
No.
I'll let you talk about Bellator though if you want. Real.
Yeah, no. I'm just saying if you're looking for MMA action, you got that on Friday. On Saturday you have UFC 222, which you can now buy on Amazon. And if you're a Prime member, you get zero discount. So I don't know what the point is.
Yeah, I saw your tweet. And you're like, this is a big deal. I look at it and go, not really that big a deal, and Eric, was that one of those you just shared for the headline?
No. I mean a big deal because you're now, to me, it makes it harder to do what we told them to do. If you're signing non-exclusive agreements with other streaming providers, you're now on Fight Pass, you're on YouTube, you're on pay-per-view where you can find it, you're on Amazon. So what am I buying? The big Fox cards and Fight Pass or in Fight Nights? That's what I'm buying.
You mean if they're doing a TV deal?
Correct.
Right. Well, no, I think this actually helps that because what's going to happen is Amazon doesn't give a crap about the price point. They're a delivery system.
It's not what I'm talking about.
Right, but no, let me finish. No,
you let me finish.
The problem in there is the satellite companies. So if you're widening your delivery platforms, I don't believe that's going to hurt them. Because Amazon's not going to care if they go, hey, we're putting this on Fight Pass for $9.99 a month, but you can still deliver it if you want. I don't think these are deals that would bind them in that way. I'd be very surprised if somebody there made that deal, especially now. I think this is essentially just, hey, we got to try to get on as many apps and platforms as we can. Do you want to take X percentage to be on your platform? Just like PS4, PS3,
totally.
Roku, whatever.
Xbox, all that stuff. I guess what I was saying is you and I had been in agreement prior to right this very second that what we would love that app to be is exactly what the network is.
Right.
This is problematic to that being a thing.
See,
that's what I thought about. Well, because if it's available everywhere, that leans into the fact that you're not willing to do it for $9.99 a month, and thus the pay-per-views aren't coming to Fight Pass. So therefore,
or just for now. Here's the thing that I've noticed with these deals that UFC seems pretty malleable in their formats. And I remember they had the issue after Mayweather. They were immediately on Fight TV, which is an app it's a niche app for sure, which means, UFC, they're just making deals to get on platforms. And that's, in a bigger sense, is all I see with Amazon. It's like, if I've got a Prime app, you're just basically, you always say it, you're just reducing the friction for somebody.
Yeah,
so if you've already got a Prime app and you're used to it, because I get it. I was watching the fights on YouTube all the time, and that was for a long time, that was a $10, $15, $20 discount because they were pricing them differently. I don't know how their deal worked. But if I walked up to somebody go, hey, man, you can get the fight card $20 cheaper on YouTube. Oh, man, I don't really use YouTube for stuff like that.
Right.
Like I watch it on my phone, but it's not on my TV. It's just that friction point. They're taking out the friction point with Prime. I don't think it would tie their hands in any future TV deals. If it were, you and I are on the same side. I just can't imagine that being the case at this point.
I do also think it's weird, though, that there's really no discount to being a Prime member. Like,
well, the Prime there is the fact that use the app.
Or is that I get it 2 days later for free.
Or maybe I can use my Amazon card.
Yes,
I got you.
Okay, right.
But maybe, I mean, we don't know.
Less funny if I have to explain it, though.
Yeah, explain all your jokes. We'll do that at the end of the podcast every day. Keep notes.
Here are all the unfunny things that Eric said.
Here's the thing I tried to blow by, but he still shrieked it down to a halt. So, But, you know, who knows? Maybe it's you can pay with your Amazon card. I mean, yeah. you're always that advocate of new things and finding ways to kind of grease the pole.
Yeah, I guess what I meant by wow is this is not what I thought they were going to do. I thought we were getting closer to doing something, not just the same thing on another platform.
And my thing is that I don't think it was a big announcement per se as much as it's just a giant platform. So it ends up being kind of a news story because I've seen this story 3 or 4 times with the UFC in the past couple of years. Just never been with Amazon.
Right.
It's never been with Bezos and company. So I think that's why that was a big deal. I think, you know, if we want to talk a little bit about financials, I think we go back to where Brock wasn't on Monday night and Tuesday night. LA was the host for SmackDown Live.
Yep.
And Fox Sports programming executives were front and center in the front row. That, I think, is a bigger deal than the Amazon deal for UFC because they are openly, I believe, courting the WWE at this point. You told me the rumors that, you know, that would put Raw on Big Fox. That would be a weekly program that has proven to draw millions upon millions, which the UFC's never been able to do. And again, all the scuttle has been if they get WWE, they don't want UFC. They consider it the same market and they're reaching the same audience and they don't need both properties, which takes a major player out of play, which means a lot of money becomes out of play at this point. So even if they end up staying, first off, they couldn't stay with the deal if Fox ends up as a player. Secondly, they lose leverage if they want to say go to NBC Universal, which might be a player at that point, but might not be. I mean, USA has always been one of those networks that if they didn't have WWE, they didn't bother to go out and chase wrestling. So they didn't chase that audience necessarily. They know it's there. They like it's there. NBC Universal, they've always got it built in on 2 nights now. But it's never been one of those things like Ted Turner back in the day where he's going to make sure wrestling's on his network.
Yeah.
So wrestling, again, I know some people hate it in the MMA community. As far as audience goes, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. So they're not necessarily going to chase the UFC, and the NBC brand, Universal brand, isn't necessarily going to be in play just because they lose WWE programming.
Well, and one more thing, and we talked about Luke Thomas's show from last week, so if you want to go check that out, you can do that on YouTube. One more thing is the difference in the audiences is that WWE is still growing.
Yes.
Right? They have young fans that dump in that become old fans who then have kids who then become young fans. We said this last week, you're not seeing that with the UFC.
No, they've essentially not been able to garner that younger end. And there's a natural point of friction there, not to belabor that point, but you've got fighting, which my son watches, but can't take too much of it. And he's getting older, so certainly at a certain point that becomes more sporting to him. But, I mean, for him to watch John Cena when he's a 6-year-old is a much different scene than to watch somebody take somebody apart in the octagon. Even though you and I know sporting-wise, both of those guys agreed to be in there. This is what they do for a living. This is how it works. Much more palatable for him to see John Cena jumping around in the playroom, as Brendan Schaub likes to call it. What do they call it? Fun house, the bouncy house.
Yes.
Than necessarily to see John Jones take somebody's head off with an elbow. So you've got a natural point of friction there where you're trying to recycle the fans at a certain level, but you didn't have them from the young level. And like you said, they're growing the audience. I'm going to a WWE event tomorrow night, and I guarantee there will be families there.
Yep.
If I go to a UFC or a Bellator event, we are not seeing families at the events.
No, you're not.
And, you know, again, this comes down not to the fact that this is a sport, this isn't a sport. This comes down to demographics. I can get the same men I'm getting with UFC plus get their families. That's what people are going to buy. And we're in a weird situation where we're almost seeing UFC and WWE competing against each other for those dollars as far as media goes.
And to add one more thing in there, right, when you have Disney buying all the Fox properties, and they own Star Wars, they own all the Disney properties and the Marvel Universe, they'd rather have the families.
Right. Oh, exactly. Exactly. So then you've got to deal with, I mean, that's ABC. ESPN, of course, part of the network, but is that going to do anything for them? Who knows?
We'll have to wait and see. So this weekend, UFC 222, Cyborg taking on Yana Kunzeskaya, who comes from Invicta, and her expertise, she's a kickboxer, essentially.
We have a picture of her now, though. So
we do have
good.
A picture of her, so if you want to know what she looks like, there you go. You can get that at UFC.com. So I have to take down the post that I was saying. It's a pay-per-view where you get to download the DLC for Xbox One for UFC 3, but we have that now.
If you want some help with the jokes,
That one's
shoot me a text.
That one's super funny.
Was that fine?
Yeah, that's way funnier.
Seems like a lot of delivery.
But here's what you got. You've got a $70 ask nearly, right, for a fight that clearly no one is here to care about.
Mm-hmm.
With a star that they don't want to build because they just put her photo up this morning and it's Thursday. Your co-main event.
She wins now and you didn't have a picture of her Monday.
Right? This is my point. Like, marketing is, what did you share this morning? Like, being successful is not the things you do every once in a while. It's the things you do consistently.
It's always like, consistency. Yeah.
Your consistency of not building. This is what we've been talking about. You have to decide what you want to do. You cannot tell me that you're a star building machine when you're the co-part of the main event who's fighting for a title has no photo.
No,
you don't have
exactly.
to draw it. You already own Invicta. Someone has a photo of her.
Yeah, that's a bad look. That's a real bad look. And that's why, you know what? When you think about it like that, and I know that for you, that kind of thing irritates you endlessly. I can kind of see why you think they're just going to blow by all the stuff that happened with John and just get him back there, because clearly they don't seem to have any other plan at this point.
Well, because think about it this way. If you went looking for houses this weekend and the one house that you really wanted to be into is mm-hmm. the sink is missing, there's not a door attached in the bathroom, mm-hmm. the bedroom is painted pink, and they go, we'll get to that eventually. You still want to buy it?
Right.
No.
No. No, let's use a better example. I'm on a real estate website. I'm clicking through houses, and I have my filters set. I need 3 bedrooms. I need 2 bathrooms. I need a den and a mudroom. Click, 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 click. And I've got 2 houses that show up. I've got a picture of a house, then I have a black screen. I mean, let's break it down that
yeah,
way.
Sure.
What are you doing?
You're not right. You're not going to go to the silhouette of the house and pray that it's great. This is what you're saying. Your co-main event is Frankie Edgar and Brian Ortega. Another chance for you to build a star in Brian Ortega and an already built star in Frankie Edgar. Your fight after that is Struven Arlovski. Okay.
That's fun.
Fun enough, right? After that, you've got Sean O'Malley, who's undefeated. It's the second fight in the UFC, taking on Andre Sukumta, who comes from a couple organizations you probably haven't heard of, but this fight could be super fun. A person on both sides of the octagon you likely haven't heard of,
mm-hmm.
but should be a fun fight. You also, when we're talking about writing stories, Mackenzie Dern makes her debut this weekend. The number one ranked Brazilian jiu-jitsu competitor on the planet is taking on Ashley Yoder. We're not doing that stuff because we're too busy trying to get you to give $70 to see Cyborg destroy yet another competitor. As a local connection, Cody Stamen's fighting this weekend on the prelims on Fight Pass against Brian Caraway. So you got some stuff to watch if the brand is fighting.
Mm-hmm.
If the brand is star building, you have failed on every level this weekend.
Has the brand ever been fighting?
No, that's my point.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to say that explicitly because I feel like we've walked around the topic, not intentionally walking around it, but we've talked about it enough to where people need to know that the brand is not fighting.
No.
They are good at putting on fun fights. Let me give you a great example. You mentioned Bellator this weekend. I asked you one question and then I'm not that interested. And I will say one thing about Bellator: when I do happen to have time and if it's just on, those fights are usually pretty good, quote unquote, fights.
Yep.
And but I don't know who the hell these guys are, and I don't know what's happening.
And I'll tell you why the brand is not fighting. Because if the brand was fighting, the Tuesday Contender Series on Fight Pass would be on TV, because that's the best fights that they have consistently.
If the brand was fighting, WEC would have bought UFC.
Yeah.
That's I mean, the long and short of it. Because even as somebody who's a casual fan, as far as my perspective and what I'm usually interested in MMA, WEC had me consistently watching because of how good the fights were.
They were amazing.
But I'm just still not representative of the fan that's going to make the UFC the money, like Connor, like John Jones, like Anderson Silva did back in the day.
Brock Lesnar, all that stuff.
For sure.
You know, and this weekend is interesting because you've been sort of poking fun at my marketing dorkdom. Like, the reason I will buy it is to see what happens on Amazon, not because I would normally buy it.
What do you mean?
Like, I wasn't planning on getting this pay-per-view. I might buy the pay-per-view to see what happens when
I would make fun of that. I was going to say, I don't make fun of your marketing stuff, but you're going to spend $60 just to see how our platform works?
Yeah, I would do that.
All right.
But again,
wait, are you going to have your company pay for it?
I don't know, maybe.
Okay, all right, there you go. I was like waiting. I'm like, you're not that big of a dork.
All I'm saying is, like, you're not getting people this weekend to tune into this for fights. Mm-hmm. They have to tune in for a story, and you've done a very bad job at that.
Mm.
Because you've literally told the story that here's Cyborg fighting nobody for a belt. Because if she mattered, she wouldn't be a house silhouette. She would have been a photograph.
Here's the another interesting thing. And again, this is very microscopic in the big picture. But I don't know about you, because you bought Stipe Cormier, right?
I did.
I don't know about you, but I just got my bill last week, and I was trying to figure out why the hell my cable bill was so high. So if that lands anywhere near your next pay-per-view, which sucks as far as marketability goes, no way, man. I just had to pay.
I just paid $190 for my cable bill.
I had to pay $181
for
my cable.
Yeah.
And I was like, why is it $181? It's usually $100. Oh, boom. There was a UFC. Well, that was two title fights. So I sort of feel like I got my money's worth. But
is that 2 months ago already?
Yeah.
Whew.
Yeah. Yeah, it was in January. That's how it landed for me. It went on the next billing cycle. I had to pay it this past week. Yeah, when I'm literally looking at the UFC, I go, whew, I just had to explain to my wife why this bill was double what it usually is. Not doing that for Joanna Jędrzejczyk, or not Joanna, Cyborg.
Yeah.
And Ghost Fighter, whoever that was.
Right.
You know, not doing it. You know, on top of the other 17 reasons we've given you to essentially not buy this. And again, that's not what we're trying to do on the show. But when we mention those different things, we mentioned it because that's how everybody feels. And when you put this on top of this, on top of this, on top of this, you're looking at another pay-per-view that's not going to do 150,000 even at all. They won't get there.
No. I totally agree. As always, though, you can follow around with anything that happens this weekend, including the weigh-ins.
Follow Eric with the Amazon thing. He'll be the only guy watching it.
With the weigh-ins that are tomorrow at WOW Show on Twitter and Facebook. I am Eric Hulkran. That is Ken Evans. And this is Way of the Warrior.